So my question to you today, who do you say that Jesus is for you?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Question of the morning is, who is Jesus to you? If Jesus asked you that question, who do people say that I am? What would be your reply? Hopefully you get the right answer and you pass the important, all-important exam. Hopefully he is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who rules and reigns over your life. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. But let's begin our worship by singing and sharing as we share and worship today together.
At this time, we are going to have some special music by Jan Serber.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need we are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, all hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
People need Thank you, Jan. That was wonderful.
Lord, oh,
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to inform his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem. There he would have to suffer a lot because of the leaders, chief priests, and scribes. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be brought back to life. Peter took him aside and objected to this. He said, "Heaven forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get out of my way, Satan. You are tempting me to sin. You aren't thinking the way God thinks, but the way humans think." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Those who want to come with me must say no to the things they want. Pick up their crosses and follow me. Those who want to save their lives will lose them, but those who lose their lives for me will find them. What good will it do for people to win the whole world and lose their lives? Or what will a person give in exchange for life? The Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory. Then he will pay back each person based on what that person has done. I can guarantee this truth. Some people who are standing here will not die until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Turn to chapter 16 once again, Matthew. Jesus has taken the disciples up to a significant place called Bemis. Very likely stayed there after this account and then later took the disciples back, John and Peter, back to the same place where they would have the encounter of Peter, or of Moses and Elijah appearing before them in the transfiguration. This is Peter's declaration to Jesus. "Now then, Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.' Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered Peter, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, back in 1998, 99, somewhere in there, I was headed off to Epworth Forest for a summer for a week. And we had as a theme that week, who do we say Jesus is? And there were t-shirts with that on there, a large red and black cross. And the back of it had companion, guide, counselor. But the idea was, who do we say Jesus is? Think about the language that you use when you pray to God. What words do you use? And maybe it changes depending upon the prayer or the circumstance or the situation. Sometimes it may be gracious God. Sometimes it may be holy God. It may just be, God, you and I got to talk today because it's that bad and there's no words to describe. But Peter gets a very deliberate question. It's almost like it's a mid-semester examination. Jesus knows that his time is getting short. He knows that the Pharisees are working their due diligence to find a way to entrap him and to arrange for his departure. And so Jesus takes them up to Caesarea Philippi, to a place called Bainus, which is a place of Baal worship many years ago. Also is a place where Herod had erected a marble fixture that was in honor of Caesar. It also happened to be the origin of where the River Jordan began and then flowed out of there and down into the Sea of Galilee and then off down the rest of the Jordan down into the Dead Sea as it flowed through Jerusalem. And so Jesus takes the disciples to this place, to this important place, a way where no one will be around them, and he can ask them this important question, this mid-semester exam question, to see if the work that he's been doing with them is paying off or if it's just going in one ear and out the other. And so he says, who do people say that I am? And they come back with John the Baptist and Jeremiah and Elijah and maybe some of the other prophets. Well, that was probably not a bad answer, but there was yet another answer Jesus was really looking for. You remember those times in class when the teacher asked you that question in high school and you gave maybe the answer, but no, I think there's something better. I'm looking for something more important, something more right to the point. And that's where Jesus takes them. But who do you say? Who do you say? I doubt that he pointed a finger at them, but I'm sure he probably looked at them pretty intently. Who do you say that I am? He might have asked it once or twice just to make sure they didn't misunderstand the question. Who do you say that I am? And that's a question for us, even today. It's not just a question for the disciples in those days, but it's a question for us. Who do we say? Who do I say that Jesus is for my life, for my place, for my spot in life? Well, as what typically happens in Scripture, Peter gets a name change. Remember Abraham's name changed and Sarah's name changed. And Peter gets a name change at that moment. He's hit the nail on the head. He becomes Peter. He goes from being Simon, the son of John, Simon, son of Zebedee, son of John the fisherman, to Peter, the rock, to Cephas. And it's on that rock that three things are significant. One of which is that Jesus is the foundation of that rock. He's the big part of the rock. He's the one on whom the salvation, the work of the cross is started. Peter is going to be the great leader of the church. Peter is the one that Jesus is going to give the whole bag of tricks to. Now remember, now keep in mind that Peter's not exactly a Rhodes Scholar. You remember, don't you, that Peter gets himself into trouble a little later on. Oh, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm willing to risk my life. I'm willing to follow your cross and take up my cross and follow it daily. And I'll be right there to the end. And Jesus reminds him, you remember, oh, by the way, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, surely not. I wouldn't do that, would I? And before the sunrise came up, not once, not twice, but three times. But thankfully, Jesus remembers that. And when they're back out at the Sea of Galilee, and they're out fishing, Jesus fixes breakfast and he asks them again, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Of course, Peter in his typical style gets pretty agitated at him. You know I love you. What do you mean asking me that question? Not once, but twice, but three times. You know I love you. But this is the one that the church is going to be held in hands of. He's the one that's going to take the church from that point forward. Jesus has to know that this is the one who is who he is. Aren't you glad we don't get asked those questions? But we do get asked those questions. Do we love Jesus? Will you feed his sheep? Will you tend his sheep? Do you love him? Will you tend his sheep? We're asked those questions. We're just not asked them maybe in the intensity that Peter got them. But we're asked them nevertheless. And later, Peter would remind the church that they were the church built on the foundation of the disciples and the apostles, and that Jesus is the cornerstone, and that we come to the church, we become believers by faith in Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. We don't do anything to earn it. We just have to believe it. We receive that grace that God gives us. We put our whole trust in God's grace. And we believe that Christ has forgiven us and taken away our sins. We don't have to know anything miraculous. They didn't have to pass the final exam last week before they joined this morning. Aren't they glad? Aren't we all glad? None of us did that. We don't understand what happened. It's one of those wonderful mysteries. But yet, we say yes because we know that Jesus offers us something that the world doesn't have. Does it not? And Jesus gives Peter that set of keys that is somewhat mysterious about what those keys were supposed to be. Do they represent the authority to carry out the church discipline and the administration and those kind of things? Could be, maybe. Are the keys the opportunity and give him the authority or give us the authority to announce the forgiveness of sins? Could be. Are they the authority to bring people to the kingdom of heaven by sharing the gospel message? Could be. Now, the folks that were the religious authority, they thought they had the keys because they thought they got the authority to decide who and who would not get in or out of the gates of hell or in heaven. But I don't know about you, but in the economy of God, that doesn't happen. He's the one that makes that call. But you see, what really happens is that he uses us to help swing wide open the doors so that everybody gets in. Where there isn't going to be any Baptists, there won't be any Pentecostals, there won't be any Methodists, there won't be any Catholics, there won't be anybody. We'll all be right there together because we've all said we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. So my question to you today, who do you say that Jesus is for you? Amen. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this time we've had together this day. And we know that you are the God, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And you have forgiven us, you have loved us, and you are still loving us, and you will continue to love us throughout all of our life. May we continue to share those keys, those messages of love, grace, and mercy with all that we meet, that they might know too that you are the Son of the living God and that you can bring them back from wherever they are and walk with them wherever they're going. We ask and we pray all of this in the name of the one we call Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Go in peace and amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.